Today is September 20th, 2017. This is a joint interim committee on the referendum 301. Today is a work session to adopt the final ballot title and explanatory statement for the potential referendum 301. We'll go ahead and open a work session and turn it over to Ms. Seiler.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, we are here today to finalize the ballot title and to finalize the explanatory statement for referendum petition 301. We had a meeting on September 5th, at which time we had a public hearing on a proposed ballot title and explanatory statement. At that meeting, we did receive some comment. Those comments were posted and are attached to that meeting. Since that meeting, we have had a two-week public comment period. The public comment period ended last night at 5 p.m. You do have a summary before you of the 32 additional comments that we received prior to the deadline. We did receive one additional piece of testimony about 11 o'clock last night. It is included in the materials. It was not available to council to consider as part of any recommended changes. So just to note that that did get included, though, for today's purposes. General summary of the testimony focused on making sure that the ballot title and the explanatory statement are clear and precise in describing the health care in Oregon and the impact that this referendum would have on Oregonians' access to health care. It asked multiple people, and throughout most of the testimony, wanted to make sure that the ballot title and explanatory statement were explicit and making sure that we are clear in the impact to Oregonians' access to health care. There were some testimony about the use of the word tax versus assessment. But the general theme, though, was making sure that there's clear impact on the life and impact on the healthcare of Oregonians.
All right. So with that, we will call up Dexter Johnston, Lori Freeman, and Dan Gilbert to kind of discuss, although Dan's looking like he doesn't want to come up. So it looks like only Dexter Johnston and Lori Freeman will come up, and they can walk us through the new draft of the ballot title and explanatory statement.
And members, you do have a copy of the draft that was provided on the 5th and a copy of a new draft dated 9/19 for both the explanatory statement and the ballot title to use as comparison as Mr. Johnson goes through the changes.
Thank you. Chair Rayfield, Chair Devlin, members, good afternoon. I'm Dexter Johnson, Legislative Counsel. I'm joined by Chief Deputy Legislative Counsel Lori Freeman and Deputy Legislative Counsel Dan Gilbert is in the room in case there are any questions that come up that he's the expert on in the initiative and referendum process. But what I'd like to do is essentially walk through the revised draft ballot title and focus on the changes made since you met on September 5th, and at that time you asked us, as staff has summarized, you asked us to go back, revise the first draft based on feedback that we received largely through the public comment process. We have done so, and what I'd like to do again is walk through the specifics of that and then touch base on two areas where there was significant public comment, but for which we concluded that additional changes could not be made and still satisfy the legal standards for what a ballot title must provide. So with that, the law requires that a ballot title contain four elements: a caption, a yes vote statement, a no vote statement, and a summary. The first paragraph of the draft ballot title that you have is the caption, and it must reasonably identify the subject matter of the measure. The caption, the new caption is largely the same. There's a couple of wording tweaks, but in essence it is the same as what you had before. The yes vote statement is the next paragraph, and that too is largely the same, with the exception of something when we prepared the initial draft ballot title, we were under the impression that the, as you may recall, there is in House Bill 2391, the bill portions of which are being referred are potentially subject to this referendum, there is a 0.7% assessment on hospitals that the way the petitioners referred that portion of it, they only referred because the bill subsequently amends the assessment, they only referred a very the very beginning part. And so that assessment is the way if voters were to reject the text that is being referred, the remainder of this special assessment on hospitals is already law and will become operative on a date in the future. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more complicated than just a date. It is either the later of January 1, 2018, or the date of a federal agency, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, approval of the proposed change. And the original draft just had January 1, 2018. This draft, both in the yes statement and in the no statement, the principal change is at the end, and that is to reflect that it could, that this hospital assessment is going to go become operative no matter what. It's just a difference of either January 1, 2018 or when federal agency approves the waiver. That last part was not in the original draft. The no vote statement is the third paragraph, and I've really explained in my yes vote statement explanation the principal difference. It's the same thing here with the no vote statement, and that is at the final sentence there, which again reflects this notion that it is that the hospital 0.7% assessment is going to become operative. It's just a matter of whether it's January 1st or federal agency approval date. Finally, the fourth component of a ballot title is the summary. The summary must be an impartial statement that summarizes the measure and its major effect. And we did do a fairly significant rewrite of that to reflect that we received feedback that we had not adequately explained what the current law is. And so we added that information. That is basically the second and third sentences of that summary, and also made it a little bit clearer about what precisely was being referred. That is not the whole thing, but only five parts of House Bill 2391, and then we explain what 2391 does. And finally, we explain the this operative date contingency in some detail. It is a minor point, but unfortunately, it is one that cannot be expressed in simply a word or two. So that is the essence of the change to the ballot title summary. And then I'd like to note two areas where we concluded that it would not be consistent with the standards for what a ballot title must contain to make changes. And there were a number of comments in both of these areas. The first is a number of folks commented that the ballot title should contain the word tax rather than assessment. Actually, however, the bill that is being referred, portions of which are being referred, House Bill 2391, uses the word assessment, does not use the word tax. Second, there is a Supreme Court case, Dale versus Kulongoski, about 20 years ago now, that considered this very issue. The question before the court was whether the ballot title for a constitutional amendment that you are all familiar with, the one that now requires the legislature to pass bills for raising revenue by 3/5 vote, whether that ballot title should, instead of using the words bill for raising revenue, which is what the provision itself says, should have used the word tax. And the court rejected that. It said no, it should, the ballot title should use what's in the measure, specifically bill for raising revenue. We believe the same analysis would apply here. And so if we use the word tax rather than assessment, it would be likely that the court would actually require modification back to the word assessment. Finally, the other area of where there's a lot of comments asking for change was in that the ballot title the ballot title should spell out more clearly the impacts of a no vote on folks that are receiving health insurance in this state or health care benefits in this state. And we concluded that that kind of analysis could not be made here because there are, in fact, if voters vote no on this, it is almost certain that there will be further legislative action to take that into account, and there could be a number, a very broad number of legislative responses to address this. And for us to engage in speculation about that would in fact fail to meet the standard of this being an impartial statement. And so we simply concluded that it was so speculative that we could not include language in the ballot title about that. I will note, though, that the voter's pamphlet, as you all know, contains, in addition to the ballot title and the explanatory statement, it contains as many pro and con statements for a particular measure as there are parties out there who have submitted them and paid the fee for that to be included. And it is the pro-con statements that are included in the ballot title, that is where the appropriate place for those kind of arguments to be set forth. So that's the ballot title. And, perhaps now, if there are any questions about that, that would be
questions.
Appropriate time.
Seeing no questions. Please.
Well, I did want to touch base. You also have the explanatory statement, draft explanatory statement,
right,
before you. And I don't have anything particularly to add about that, but the explanatory statement basically flows from the ballot title. It's important that the two documents be consistent, and so whatever changes we made in the explanatory statement were to make the explanatory statement consistent with this version of the ballot title.
Hey, Mr. Johnson, just to clarify, because we talked about speculation of potential actions going on later on, when you say speculating, it's not speculation to say that if the referendum were to be successful or were to nullify, you know, the action taken by the legislature, we would be underfunded. That's accurate to say.
Mr. Chair, that is accurate to say. The budget makes certain assumptions. The budget that you all passed makes certain assumptions. And there will not be the funds that those budget assumptions were based on available if this does not pass. And the measure, or the ballot title and explanatory statement both reflect that.
Okay, thank you. Further question? Okay, seeing no questions. Any discussion with respects to the current state of the ballot title and explanatory statement?
Okay. Are you ready for a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
Chair Rayfield, I move the adoption of the ballot title dated September 19th, 2017, for referendum petition 301.
Co-Chair Devlin has moved the adoption of the ballot title dated September 19th, 2017, for referendum petition 301. Any discussion? Okay, are there any? Is there any objections to the motion? Please note that Representative Smith objects to the motion. Motion carries.
Do you wish to have a second motion?
That would be wonderful.
Yes, Chair Rayfield, I move the adoption of the explanatory statement dated September 19th, 2017 for referendum petition 301.
Co-Chair Devlin has moved adoption of the explanatory statement dated September 19th, 2017 for referendum petition 301. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to the motion? Please note that Representative Smith objects to the motion. Motion carries. With that, I believe our work is concluded. Ms. Seiler, is there anything else we need to do?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Our work is concluded.
We should thank staff and council.
Yeah, and very good. And Senator Devlin, would you like to do that?
Oh, okay. Well, I'd first of all like to thank the committee administrator. This has been a great opportunity for me. She does great work, and this is, she was my committee administrator for quite a long time, but I get very few opportunities, so she's as competent, if not more competent, than when she was my committee administrator before. And I'd also like to thank Legislative Council for all the work that they've done on this and all the questions that they've asked that people have put before them. So.
Thank you both. And with that, we will go ahead and adjourn the meeting.